United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000, and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. From Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai, entitled Jesus and Buddha Are Awakened Beings, given on October 14, 1989 in Santa Clara, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
So, we do not think that all the Buddhas grow up very holy and very orderly. Yeah, they grow up like we do. They have to eat food, they have to sleep, and listen to their parents obediently, and learn from their teachers what they have to learn. Learn from all the people what they have to learn as a human being. And then, from a human being standpoint, they advance to Buddhahood. If they meet a good teacher, if they have opportunity, if they have a sincere desire to be back home where they came from, if they have this pain of separation from the holiness, from the whole. Now, when we look at our life and our childhood, we see there is nothing different between us and any Buddhas or any saints. So, we know that we may become Buddha as well. We may, if we want to. If we sincerely want to achieve this end, we can. The Buddha, for 30 years, he didn't do anything good. He wasn't any ideal, except very intelligent, exceptionally intelligent, and learned everything well. He has not offered much to the society. because he was a prince and was spoiled to death by his parents. He's the one and only. So his parents loved him very much and gave him everything he needed and not needed. Even he didn't want a wife, they arranged a wife for him, so as to bind him in the family and not to go out, not to become a monk or something like that. But then he also left because he saw the suffering of human beings, of all beings, and this inspired him to be liberated from this. He was thinking how ephemeral life is, how much suffering there is. That is when he started to know human suffering. He didn't know it before. He was a Buddha, and he came into this world, into a golden palaces. From the Buddha's land, he didn't know any suffering. And in the palace, he didn't know any suffering either. So he thought life is all golden and good. It doesn't mean that he has no compassion. He just did not know. He just did not know that life has different aspects other than in the palace. So one day he went outside of the palace walls and saw all the sufferings that human has to endure. The birth, the pain of the birth, pain of death, pain of sickness, and of old age. And then he realized that he himself one day has to go through this as well. He's not immortal. So he began to be a human being. So you see, even the Buddha had to learn again to be a human being, to learn all this suffering in order to understand. Have to become a human of every mortal in order to understand. So from this story, we should have a hope that maybe we are also Buddha. Yes, maybe we came here just to rescue others. In order to know whether you are a Buddha or not, we have a kind of test. Yes. We call initiation, or we call it heart-to-heart transmission. Now, at the time of initiation, you know your level. If you see a lot of light and been raised up very fast and all this, and you know you have been a Buddha. Or you are very high level saints. If at that time of initiation your light a little bit low, dim, foggy, then you understand that probably you have been Buddha for too long already and forgotten. You've been here too long and forgotten your Buddhahood. So we have to try to fight back again. Now, why we have to fight back, and with what? I tell you. You see, we come from very high place, Buddha's land, and we go through layer and layers of different materials, invisible materials and visible materials, fine, subtle materials to rough, coarse materials. And then at last, we stop here. In this world, with this very coarse, very concrete prison, or materials, or clothes, which we call body. Now, if we want to go back there, then we have to go through this procedure again, from the coarse to the fine. Yeah, understand? That's why we have to fight, to struggle through this. Because whatever we collect from the upper level downward, we have to leave behind when we go from the lower level upward. And this is not an easy process. For a Buddha to come from the upper level downward is easy. You just pick up one by one and put it on. But when you go from the lower level upward, it's not easy to take off. It's cling to your soul, your mind, your blood, your vein, your thinking, your ideas. Why? Because when he went down, he has no luggage, very pure and innocent, have no obstacles, nothing at all. So he just put on and on and on, and feeling new. It's okay, new experience, feeling rather pleasurable. When we stay here in this world, we start collect more garbage, more luggage. Therefore, we get heavier and heavier, heavier each day. Therefore, if we want to go up, first we have to get rid of this extra baggage and then go through layer after layer of different materials to go back to the origin. Therefore, it's hard to become a Buddha again, mind you, again. Not that you have not been Buddha before. Everyone has been a Buddha in the past. Some stay here for a long time and lose their glory. Some never come down, so still has a lot of power and wisdom. Some come here for only a few lives, so easy to go back home. Some stay too long and burden with extra baggages, which become too familiar to them, is hard to shake off. So whether we have been Buddha too long or too short, we all can go back to our glorious position again through a method we call immediate enlightenment, the method of Guan Yin. Why is it immediate enlightenment? Because we can immediately experience some light. Enlightenment and light imply light. So if we see some of the light within ourselves, the spark of glory that remind us of our glorious past in heaven or in Buddha's land, then we start to know our real nature. It's what we call Buddha nature, or the kingdom of God within ourselves, or the spirit that lives within our body. In the Bible, it says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you, lives within you." So, the Holy Spirit is not a person, it's just glorious light. And if we want to see that nature, our own nature, our Buddha nature, we have to see through a different eye, through different perception. This eye we call wisdom eye, or Buddha's eye, or heavenly eye, or the Christians call the single eye. If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, Jesus say, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. What is that? Should we put our eyes together and make it become one over here like cross-eyed people? No, even that see no light. So, the eye, which is mentioned in the Buddhist scripture or the Christian Bible or other scripture, is not the physical eye, but the single eye within our wisdom, within our ocean of consciousness. Actually, there is no eye. But because we can see everything from heaven to hell, from the world to the Buddha's land, we call that an eye. So to open this eye, we need someone who show us the way, how to do it. Just like we want to drive a car, we need someone to know, or who knows already how to drive the car, and just to help us. And in the first day, we can drive a little already. Maybe zigzag, but we can drive, no? I remember when I first learned driving, immediately my teacher sat me on the seat, turned the key, tell me to open it, and tell me this and that, drive. I was so scared. But I did drive, miraculously. And I was thinking, oh, how marvelous. The first day I can drive already. But of course, with the teacher at the right-hand side who brake for you and who watch the road ahead for you, tell you, turn left, turn right, turn ahead, go ahead, brake, or stop, thing like that. Understand? So it's difficult to become a Buddha, maybe, but we can learn and we can try. Many people became Buddha already, so why not we? We are the same like they. We have nose and eyes and intelligence and sincerity and purity. And honestly, we want to learn to improve ourselves, then we can. Just like everyone can learn to speak English, if we want to, we can go to school, we teach English, and we diligently study every day, practicing speaking and writing, then we can. Maybe someone quicker, someone slower, but we all can. To become Buddha, to become Christ-like, is a kind of science only. It's of know-how, like every other subjects in this world. We can learn, we can practice. I have learned and I have succeeded. So I believe everyone else can. I am just an average intelligent person and a very small in stature, and weak in body, and haven't studied very long. And I don't think my sincerity exceeds yours. Maybe you're even more sincere than I am. More longing to become Buddha, more longing to be reunited with God than I am. Who knows who is better than who? So even if such an average person can succeed in this kind of lessons, learning by perseverance and sincerity, so I believe other people who are more intelligent than I am, who are more advanced in thinking, who are more healthy in body and mind, could become Buddha even faster, could become Christ-like, become one with God faster than I am. That's my belief. But we need sincerity and perseverance. That's all there is. Like in every other science and lessons, we need perseverance and the real desire to learn. Yeah? Does Master think I have to leave gradually all worldly obligations behind? For example, studying, having friendships, having business, or doing social service in order to rest more and have quietness in your head in order to feel relaxed and calm, feel good. Yeah, maybe reach enlightenment, that's what she means. No, I do not think so. You can do that maybe for a short period of time. Just like we take vacation for 1 month, 2 months, 1, 2 years, that's all right. But then we must integrate into the world in order to help others or to repay our debt, to repay their kindness. Because without other people, without society, we could not survive. We could not go here and there. We could not have any food to eat, any clothes to wear. So everyone contributes something to the society. We also, as individual, no matter who, have to contribute something. Even the monk, if you want to become a monk, that's all right also. But then after sometimes retreat, we have to also contact with people, just be a normal person, in order to help them with our speech, our examples, our practice, energies, or other things, etc. For example, I am living as a monk, but because today the society is different, so I'm working a little bit in order to earn my own living, so as not to bother society, also to contribute some of my effort to the material needs of my body, to sustain my body so that I can give you everything freely without obligation, unconditional love, as I want to show you. So I'm not making a monkhood as an excuse and retreat in a mountain and sleeping every day, enjoying my bliss. I also have to work because I want to repay your kindness, kindness of the society. The Buddha say, from the Buddha to the ordinary beings, everyone owns society something that we have to repay. We have to repay the kindness of the king or government, those who look after the order of society. First is the parents, yeah, and then the king or government, and then friends and teachers, and then the relationship between husband and wife, etc. So at least four kinds of benefactors we have to repay from the Buddha downward. He says so.
Is there a God according to you? What difference between God and Buddha?
You see, if you want to think of God as impersonal, as a loving energy, great beings, then he is different from the Buddha. Because Buddhas are sent by God, by that energy, by that great God, to come down in this world to understand our need. But if you understand Buddhas in a sense of that loving, kindness, compassion, all-pervading, then God is not different from Buddha. But when the Buddha came down to earth, he has God's power. You see, in Christianity, we call God, God. In Buddhism, we call God Anuttara Samyaksambuddha, the highest Buddha, the highest Buddha. The Most High Buddha. In Christianity, we call him Almighty, the Most High. It is similar, just not translating. Why the Buddha did not answer to the question whether there is a God or not? Because he did not want his disciples at that time to cling to the conception of just a God, a personal God, with their own limited understanding. Therefore, he used another word. He said, Anuttara Samyaksambuddha. This is God in Christianity. You understand?
What happened to the soul at death? What is reincarnation? Is it really true? Who decides what form my next life will take?
What happened to the soul after death? If there is a soul, then he will go where your desires lead him. If you have so many desires unfulfilled, then after your death, your soul has to go back in another form of a body in order to fulfill these desires. This is what's called reincarnation, reborn again. And who decides this? You, yourself. If you want to go to the Buddha land, and decided that you must do so. You don't want to be reborn again in this world as human or ghost or animal, then you must take a step, a decisive step from today or tomorrow. You live a virtuous life according to the scriptures, and you meditate, you pray to the Buddha, and listen to the instruction of the Buddhas or God Almighty every day in order to know how to go home. How to live behind this suffering world.
When we kill a bull for meat, we terminate one living being. When we eat an apple and throw away the core, we're throwing away many seeds of life. Oh, how can we justify this?
How compassionate you are.
And based on what do you say that plant has no emotion or no hatred?
I did not say. No, they don't have hatred. Not so deep, so strong like animal. Understand? And also, when you cut a plant, they grow again. They can grow again, but if you cut a bull head, it never grow another head. So that's definitely a loss in business. Or what we call kweban in Chinese. Yeah? A loss in investment. Yes. Sometimes the plant grows better if we cut them, some branches of them. You know this, yeah? You help the plant to grow more if you cut them in some part or cut the heart of the trees. I know this. I plant the tree. I plant the vegetables. I know. So in fact, we don't kill anything. We help them only. So their fear is only illusion. They should not fear. They grow more abundant. They just fear only. But later they saw how beneficial for them. Then they stop fearing and they become very grateful to us. Yeah? Whereby the animal, if you cut the head, they know that's it. Finito. No more. So we cannot compare this. Also, to kill a plant and to kill an animal is not the same, no. To To kill an animal and to kill a human is even worse. So we have to go to the least sin, yeah? You see, the seed can grow again. But the buffalo seed, if you eat a buffalo and poop out something, it will not grow into another buffalo. And if you throw away the seed of apples, and if the seed doesn't grow, that's not your fault. Understand? You did not intend for it not to grow. Many seeds not growing because lack of oxygen, lack of fertilization, lack of water. So there are many conditions for a seed to grow. And these conditions are harmless. If you raise a pig or a buffalo, it takes a lot of grains, a lot of energy, a lot of water, a lot of electricity, a lot of antibiotic, a lot of food, a lot of protein. In order to gain 1 kilo of beef, you waste a lot of national energies, money, water, clean and beautiful water, and then get some kind of polluted water in return due to the waste from the animals. The big raising cattle lands producing dirty water. And we use our clean water to fetch them and to clean them and to wash their meat in the slaughterhouse and all kind of thing and electricity. When you calculate the cost, this is a loss of business. It's too much waste of natural food in order to feed our appetite. We have many other choices. Instead of feeding the meat and the beef and eat it second hand, we eat it first hand, no? I think it's more noble for us to eat first hand things. We're first class. Why we have to eat from the animal again? You feed the grain to the chicken and then eat the chicken, digest it. And then you feed the carrot and the vegetable to the rabbit and then eat the rabbit. Why don't you eat the vegetable and grains? First class, fresh. Yeah. It's a waste of time eating animal meat. It's a waste of energy and national treasure and money and cause world hunger. We take all the grain and the stocks and to give it to the buff and then eat just a portion of it. You know all this by statistics, huh? Do you know these things? Yeah? How much it costs for 1 kilo of beef, one piece of beefsteak? Costs many, many tons of grains and protein and water and electricity and medicine and doctors' money for caring for them. I cannot tell you all. You must read them yourself and feel some sense of conscience.
Some of the diseases related to meat consumption and or production: rabies, anthrax, sleeping sickness, Q fever, norovirus, swine flu, Ebola Reston virus. Cured meats and fish increase leukemia risk in children. Antibiotic-resistant superbug infections from a strain of Staphylococcus aureus. Blue tongue disease, E. coli, Salmonella, bird flu, mad cow disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, 90% of the population at risk. Pig's disease, or PMWS, listeriosis, shellfish poisoning, preeclampsia, Campylobacter, Clostridium difficile, diseases hidden in healthy-appearing livestock.
Some of the costs of meat eating.
Infertility. Eating just one serving of meat per day increases the risk of women's infertility by 32%, with additional meat consumption increasing the risk.
Heart disease. Over 17 million lives lost globally each year. Cost of cardiovascular disease is at least $1 trillion US a year.
Cancer. Increased childhood cancers and adult reproductive cancers from hormones in meat.
Colon rectal cancer. Over 1 million new colon cancer patients diagnosed each year. More than 600,000 colon cancer-related mortalities annually. In the United States alone, colon cancer treatment costs about $6.5 billion US. Millions of people are newly diagnosed with other meat-related cancers every year.
Diabetes. 246 million people are affected worldwide.
an estimated $174 billion spent each year on treatment in just the United States. Obesity. Worldwide, 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. Costs $93 billion each year for medical expenses in the United States alone. At least 2.6 million people die annually from problems related to being overweight or obese.
Environmental. Use up to 70% of clean water. Pollute most of the water bodies. Deforest, the lungs of the earth. Uses up to 43% of the world's cereal. Uses up to 85% of the world's soy. Cause world hunger and wars. 80% cause of global warming. Plus more.
Some of the costs of milk consumption. Cowpox from milking cows. Bacterial microbes, pesticides, and enzymes found in cheese derived from the inner stomach linings of other animals. Up to 80% of the calories in cheese are from pure fat. Breast, prostate, and testicular cancer from hormones present in milk. Listeria and Crohn's disease. Hormones and saturated fat leads to osteoporosis, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Linked to higher incidences of multiple sclerosis. Classified as a major allergen. Lactose intolerance. Plus more.
For help quitting, please visit
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
An unfertilized chicken egg is not an embryo. Mm. It will never develop into a life form since it is unfertilized.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it wrong to eat eggs?
Yes, there are two reasons. First, the egg has consciousness in itself. Otherwise, the sperm could not make an egg become a chicken. Yeah, there's half consciousness here, half there. Because nowadays, I have told you last night that the conception doesn't matter in what form. It's a chosen process. The egg did choose whichever partner it wants to observe. And this is already proved by a scientist. I have the information about this. So do not tell me that egg doesn't have any feeling or doesn't have consciousness. It chooses its partner to make life. So if a partner doesn't come, and then she's waiting there only, doesn't mean she doesn't have any feeling or consciousness. That is the first reason. Because according to the principle of yin and yang, there must be half and half. Understand that? Half is yin, half is yang. And the yin and yang unite together to become life. But half life and half life put together become a whole life. Understand? So if we eat egg, we destroy half anyhow. But this you do not need to believe me. You ask your own scientist. Now the second reason is that eggs excites our passion and lust, anger, attachment. Also, eggs are used in black magic or white magic to attract the negative entities, whether out of your body or send it in. So if we're eating eggs, we have a chance to invite a lot of these into our body, stomach, or around our body, surrounding ourselves with not very positive energy. All right?
Please comment about the nature of man's original sin.
Original sin is what we call karma in Buddhism. Original sin is this: when we came to this lower world of existence, we begin to have body and mind. We begin to collect memories, good and bad. And so, according to that, we be reborn and reborn again, seeking new environment and chance to develop, to fulfill our newly acquired desire and knowledge. This is what original sin means.
How did the Earth, other planets, and everything else in the universe come into existence?
Oh, this is a big question. You want to know? It says in the Bible, very first page, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything was made by it, I mean this Word, the sound, the vibration. And there's nothing that was made that wasn't made by this. It means the vibration, the Tao. The origin of all things is energy, vibrating energy, yeah? And the energy, sometimes it vibrated fast or slow, it formed itself into a concrete form. And then manifested itself slowly into some being, yeah? Like earth, like people, like plants, and other beings, like sun, stars. They are all beings. They are not inanimate objects. Yes. They are beings. They have intelligence, wisdom, memories, and power.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
It's our joy to have your gracious company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Coming up next is Golden Age Technology right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. With heaven's blessings, may all beings on our beautiful planet coexist in peace, love, and happiness.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW